It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
The unselfishness of that mantra, if you will, is huge. I think that's a key aspect of really good teams across all sports, that unselfish nature. And I think that's what you're seeing on full display.
Just trying to go 1-0 each week. And I think last week we found it through running the ball. And this week we knew we were going to have to throw it. And again, guys made plays, very complimentary football. And you love seeing those.
Cook gets the handoff, going to try to get the corner. He's got it to the five and to the front pylon. He's in for a touchdown. Pressure coming. Now rolls out to the right, looking for an open receiver. He's got Kincaid caught in the back of the end zone for a 6-yard touchdown reception. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let the record show. Let the record show that when we did a song draft with Shope and the Bulldog, what went first? And who picked it?
This one first?
I picked Mr. Brightside.
Good job.
First. Now, all Great you job. Millennials, I think I'm just barely not a millennial. All you millennials that have claimed like it's your song of your generation, I had this.
It is.
I had this album when it came out. I liked this song before it was cool.
Oh, don't be that guy.
It's true. I was 25.
The New York Times did decide that the Mr. Brightside is the song of my generation.
Okay, well, I liked it before you. What year were you born?
1995.
You were 9 when this album came out, and this album is awesome, and we liked it too. And it's not a problem that you guys have claimed it.
We have claimed it.
And if the Bills want to play it at every game, that's awesome, because I have belted this song at the top of my lungs live at killer shows at least 4 times.
Yeah. Well, the Bills players were.
I know.
Like Kincaid and Matt Collins was doing the air guitar. You can't not.
We all kept singing it after it finished.
Yes.
Too.
Oh, of course.
It just kept going.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the sidelines.
Sal was singing it.
Singing it, Sal.
So. Actually, yes and no. I was kind of singing in my head. What I did was, I felt kind of cool because everybody behind me was singing it.
Uh-huh.
I turned around, and the people in my section, you know, and I've been there for many years, last season ticket holders, people in those sections over there, we always have some banter back and forth. You know, it's cool. I see a lot of people I've seen for years. And I turned around, and I pretended I was conducting them as they were singing.
Excellent.
And we were having fun.
That is such a pro move as the guy on the field, like, yes.
Yes, that is good.
Drum major.
Right, so that was very cool. I mean, I felt like I was the conductor of the whole sideline, even though I knew I wasn't. I was just having fun because I was soaking it in, watching them sing, and they were, you know, people were just having so much fun. It was a party, right? It was such a party. So I turned around, I was pretending that I was kind of conducting them, so I felt good about it. But the other part was just the players and being around the players for that guys. And honestly, that after that happened, I turned around. And Reed Ferguson just had this smile on my face. I looked at him, and Reed said to me on the sidelines, he said, "Isn't this great? This is why you play."
Yeah.
And that was just so cool, you know, and just in that moment. And the game was kind of in hand, and it was just really, really cool. I sent the video clip to some friends of mine. I have a text thread with some buddies of mine down in Florida, some coaches, things like that. And one of them who's actually a Jaguars fan, so I think he was a little salty, and he's a big Michigan fan. He wrote back to me, "Oh, so they're copying Michigan.
Of course,
you should get a Google Dolls song."
Of course.
Like, what?
What? Does this guy think the Killers are from Michigan?
Like, I mean, I know,
Killers,
right?
Are from Las Vegas. They're a Wolverine fan.
I've come to find out that Missouri does this too, this song, so I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, it's not the first time the Bills have done it. They've played that song before. It might just be the first time that there was this viral moment where all the players are in on it and singing. So, like, that's why it makes more of a thing. But that's not the first time this song has been played. So, hopefully it's a fixture. It'll be our renegade.
I don't know if I want to be regular, though. It's special once in a while, right? I don't want to be overplayed.
Only when they're beating the Jaguars? What are your...
You know what? When they're having, like, perfect level of game.
So,
like, you 40, maybe. You reach 45. Wow. I don't know. Like, it's got to be a high standard, though.
I like it.
Like,
it's
an elite night. It's a historic night when they're playing Mr. Brightside because they're up 52-8.
I don't know the exact, like, formula for this, but the Sabres back when they were amazing, 05, 06, 06, 07. They used to play Limp Bizkit Rollin'. It might have been after they scored their third goal of a game. So, okay. One song was specific to the game situation. Like, maybe they took a lead or they took a two-goal lead. Yeah. So, it was rolling, rolling, rolling. So, you're saying if you've got a three-touchdown lead in the fourth, you earn Mr. Brightside. Kind of like if you get two touchdowns, you get a Tim Hortons gift card, everybody on the back
right.
of it.
Or in the NBA, it's like, hey, if we score 120 tonight, everyone gets free chicken nuggets.
Yes, okay.
Like, it's that.
Mr. Brightside
is it. If the Bills get to 40, or if they're up, three touchdowns in the fourth, we're all getting Mr. Brightside.
All right, we'll leave that to Bills game day operations. Let us know what the plan is. Anyway, hey, Sal, vibes are high. You know, people are excited about this team with good reason. And another big moment coming up Sunday night against the Ravens. Let's start with the Barnes injury report. We'll do that, which, you know, the Bills have a couple names to monitor. The Ravens, it seems, have quite a bit more to keep an eye on. But the Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So what are we looking at for the Bills on the injury report?
Well, really good news yesterday, guys. Terrell Bernard came back to practice, and he's not going to play on Sunday night, but just him being at practice and being out there and doing the things he was doing yesterday, really encouraging, obviously. I put a bunch of video on my social media feed at Sal Sports on Twitter, and I intentionally put some videos of him doing different things. So early in practice, the linebackers always work on a drill where it's kind of like a punt, but it's not super high. It's like down the field, jugs machine. It's just ball skills. He jumps up. You have to get it at its high points, a high point drill. And he jumps up with his arms in the air to catch it. So I think that's notable, you know, that happened. Then later on, I have a video of him punching a ball out with his left hand. It's a drill where they work on the peanut punch. That's his left hand. Then another drill where he was using his right hand to shed off the sled. He takes it, sheds it down with his right hand, pushes it to the left, and then goes and makes a form tackle. So to me, it's just important that he's using his entire, you know, torso, his pectorals, his arms to move like that. And he was in a red jersey. He's not going to play on Sunday. We know that. Taron Johnson's not going to play on Sunday. They did put Tylan Grable on injured reserve, so he's out at least four games. You know, I was surprised Tylan Grable actually was getting the nod over Ryan Vandermark anyway. But Ryan Vandermark, you know, will just slide right into that spot, I would assume. He's already on the active roster. And they did sign Will Clapp to the 53-man roster, who's an offensive lineman. So those are the things that we're looking at. And Kyrie Elam was limited yesterday. He has a neck injury, but good news that he was in a red non-contact jersey.
All right. On the Ravens side of things, we know their injury report, their starting center was limited. They've got injuries up and on the offensive line especially, which could come into play for this Bills team on Sunday Night Football. 803-0550 if you want to jump in, ask Sal a question, ask us a question, give a comment on things. You know, Sal, we took a call earlier about James Cook from Larry in South Florida. I want to bring up that right away because, you know, he wondered about Cook and the drops, a couple of drops. Like Cook has obviously been a big part of this offense, and they use him in a lot of different ways. And there's just that occasional drop on an open play. And I almost wonder, you know, if the belief down there if Cook has addressed this, is it a mental thing? Is it a technique thing? What do you think about Cook and those drops that occasionally just seem to show up out of nowhere on a play that seems like it would be an easy play for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the player would chalk it up to, you know, just have to be better, have to catch that. It's not anything necessarily that, you know, I don't know if he needs to do something different technique-wise because generally he's pretty good at catching the ball and then all of a sudden one creeps up where he drops it. That was a catch he should have made. I'll say that. It also was, he was tracking it over his head. It's not something he does all the time. He's not a wide receiver. I'm not making an excuse for him. He should have caught it. There's no doubt. I don't think it was necessarily as easy as it looked. It did go through his hands. It's one he's got to come up with. But certainly, you know, just put your hands in the right spot, concentration, those are little things. Someone on the broadcast, I think it was Lewis Riddick, said his elbows were out too far or something like that. I mean, put your elbows in a little bit. Those are little technique things that, you know, he's got to probably clean up. And I'm sure he talks with, you know, Kelly Skipper, his position coach, but maybe even Adam Henry, the wide receivers coach, maybe, you know, something like that. So in situations like that, you know, players will tell you, hey, you know, I mean, it's just got to be better. Just got to, you know, have good technique and look it in. I mean, I think that's the case. I don't think, though, the bigger picture, guys, that it gets the Bills away from doing those things. It hasn't this year after having some of those last year. The one in Philadelphia last year was kind of very similar. It was actually an easier catch last year in Philadelphia. They still threw him the ball later in the season. In fact, then he had another one against Dallas, obviously. So I don't think it actually impacts them using him in that manner.
Do you think they might situationally think about it, Sal? Like, it's almost interesting. I don't know if it's a focus thing that these things happen around the end zone for Cook. Again, maybe that's coincidence, but the first thought I had is, man, just the last thing anyone's going to want to see is that happen in a big moment. And I wonder if the Bills would have that in the back of their mind if they're under a two-minute warning in a
big,
important game.
The Eagles, when they threw it to Barkley, who does drop them from time to time. Like, they threw him on a big third down.
In a spot where they're thinking, hey, what's our best play here? If they might think more like, okay, maybe our best play here isn't throwing the ball to James Cook because we don't know if this will be the time he drops it.
Okay, so if you do that, then you're putting him on the field. Because if you're going to have him on the field, and what if he's the open guy? If he's on the field and he's the open guy, you got to throw it to him, right? I think that's the way it's got to be. I think that you're doing yourself and your team a disservice and injustice if you have him on the field but tell Josh or whatever, well, you just can't throw it to him. So then let's just say he's not on the field. Do you trust Ray Davis to do it then? Right? I mean, like, have we seen enough of him? It's a tough call, Joe. I mean, you're right. I mean, it could. I'm sure it's more of a, like, watching a movie kind of, okay, let's make sure he catches it. Bam. Right? He does. Or what happens when it goes through his hands like it did last time. I just think that if you have that mentality or mindset as an offense, I think you're taking away your ability to score or have your best play available. If you, okay, well, he's going to be on the field, but we can't throw it to him because of the drops. If he's the open guy, then Josh has to throw it to him if he's on the field, and that's the play.
Right. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We'll get some calls in with Sal here as we get ready for Bills-Ravens on Sunday Night Football. And I know, Joe, you had something you wanted to bring up about the way the Ravens attack defenses that's different from the Bills' first three opponents. Joe and Gasport first, though. Joe, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Good, Joe.
Good, thanks, Joe.
Good, thank you.
Okay, so a few comments, gentlemen. Regarding James Cook and the drops, going back to Bill Walsh and the West Coast offense for the 49ers, Roger Craig, Ricky Waters, they're great receiving backs. He would have them sit in the wide receiver room and go through drills with wide receivers. I don't know if the Bills do that. I like your comments on that. And as it relates to Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson running the ball, and watching their games, I've noticed that Lamar Jackson tends to run middle to his right and Derrick Henry middle to his left more often. So how do the Bills manage that as far as gap integrity and game plan for that? Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll listen to your comments.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Well, I just think you play your defense. I mean, gap integrity is gap integrity, whether you go middle right or edge right or – there's six gaps across the board. Every gap is covered with a person. That's what gap integrity is.
Well, one thing about Sal, about Lamar running to his right, that's Allen, too. I mean, right-handed quarterbacks are going to prefer rolling right than
100%.
Left.
I'm thinking this as he's talking, as the caller's talking, I'm thinking, well, that's natural for if he's going to run some sort of put the ball in the belly and then pull it out, it's going to be naturally more so going to his right to do that as Henry crosses him going to his left. Because it's easier for a right-handed quarterback to roll out to the right and on the move throw it. So that makes sense. I don't think you have to game plan. That's not abnormal. So I don't think the Bills are, you know, traditionally, like, I'm sure they're preparing for all of that because that's what they do, but it's not abnormal to see something like that. And gap integrity is just gap integrity. It's what you do. You cover up all the gaps. As far as Cook working with wide receivers, now, during pre-practice drills, the running backs with the running backs, the quarterbacks are with the quarterbacks, receivers are receivers. But guys, they come together all the time, and there's always a pre-practice period where Josh Allen's throwing to the running backs. There's always a pre-practice period where he's throwing to the tight ends. Usually the running backs and tight ends are together, and then they incorporate the receivers. There's always times like that. I unfortunately couldn't tell you for sure how much he's in meeting rooms or those other things that go on behind the scenes with wide receivers coaches. But listen, I just know how generally it works in operation, and speaking in general terms, I'm sure that he's in those particular discussions at some point throughout the week, depending on the game plan.
Sal, there's a phrase we hear a lot, and this kind of gets to Joe's point about, you know, Lamar and tracking him, and that's, is it eye discipline? I feel like it's Lorenzo Alexander that said that however many years ago. The Bills have not played the Ravens that many times, but they've been okay against Lamar. He's never really lit them up. And whether that's because of the pass defense or because of, you know, rush lane integrity, eye discipline is a phrase that they've used. Has that phrase come out at all this week? Or anything from the defense about how they handle the challenge that Lamar presents?
I don't know if the words have come out, eye discipline, but that's generally what you're going to hear and what they're going to be talking about. It's really just what the caller brought up. It's gap integrity. It really is more than anything, and the Bills are very good at that. If you maintain your gap integrity, they can do whatever they want back there, but then you're responsible and you have your gap, and no matter where the ball is, you're going to have an opportunity to make a play on it. And then, obviously, if Lamar Jackson's in the pocket, you know, and you have to be very aware of your rush discipline. I think that's a big thing, too. If you overrun him, he's going to get out, and he's going to have some running lanes. And this is not an opponent that they're necessarily unfamiliar with. You know, the Bills have played Lamar in the past. They've done a pretty good job under Sean McDermott. There was the one game, I think, here and maybe Josh's rookie year. I'm sorry, 2019, I think it was.
Yes.
And Lamar did a really nice job there. But the Bills, you know, the playoffs did a nice job at home a couple years ago. I do think about the linebackers here, guys. Dorian Williams, Baylen Specter, when we talk about eye discipline, when we talk about gap integrity, the Ravens will do a lot of window dressing back there. They'll do a lot of stuff in the backfield to kind of mess with your eyes. And we saw it last week against the Dallas Cowboys, late in the game especially, when they needed a couple plays. Those are the guys and the things that I think about who don't necessarily have that same experience of being on the field in situations like this against players like this. So I do think that the Ravens will, you know, do what they can to kind of screw around with those guys to get them to do one thing or another that they want them to manipulate them, I guess.
Eric in Lancaster. Eric, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, guys. So my question's about a couple of things. One, I see the spread on the game is -2.5 in favor of the Ravens. That just doesn't make too much sense to me. I'm wondering if you can talk on that. And two, you know, the national narrative on the Bills right now is that they're beating up on bad teams. You know, they're beating up on the Jaguars, scoring 47 points against them. But, you know, going into the game, the talk on the Jaguars was, yeah, their offense has got problems, but they got an above-average defense, and we still put up 47 points against their defense. So I'm wondering, do you think we're not getting the, you know, the national recognition that we should be as a top team? And can you make sense of the spread of this game?
Thanks, Eric. I think the Bills are getting lots of recognition as being one of the best teams in the league right now. But the point about the spread, I don't know, is it home field is 1.5 right now.
That's what I. So it's where we're kind
not
of
three
at.
Anymore, right?
It's no,
not
it's really more like 1.5.
It's 1.5, and the spread is
it's 2.5.
So on a neutral field, the Ravens are a 1-point favorite. Like, I find that a little bit strange myself.
I do too, which means I'm going to be on the Bills, I think, in this game. But I find it a little bit strange too, right, Sal?
I think it's makes sense to me, to be honest with you. Okay. I thought it actually, we thought. Matt Bove and I, right after the game on Monday night, we did a podcast and we said, let's guess the spread. We both guessed 1.5. It was 2.5. Okay. And so it makes sense that the Bills are underdogs. I mean, they are going to Baltimore. Baltimore is still very, very good despite their record. They have a lot of talent. It's a night game in Baltimore. It's a tough spot to be in. So it kind of makes sense to me. I thought it would be, if you told me the Bills are favored by 1.5, I wouldn't be surprised. I think, you know, 2.5 to even either way just kind of makes sense. So not surprised at all by that spread, to be quite honest. As far as the national recognition, I guess it's who you listen to. You guys are right. To the caller's point, if you want the national recognition, just go look at the power rankings. ESPN, where are the Bills number one now? Maybe number two, right? All these different CBS. Like, the Bills are basically 1 and 2 in a lot of the power rankings. And people say, well, they haven't beaten anybody. I mean, I just think that's fans who say that a lot. I mean, these are professional football teams. And part of the reason that those teams are showing up as not being good is because they've played the Buffalo Bills, and they haven't looked as good when they played the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. But by the way, like, this really is a different opponent from what they've faced. We were just talking about, like, Lamar and scrambling, Sal, and the Bills have done a relatively good job. So in the last three matchups, Jackson has scrambled 10 times for 84 yards, but that's in a three-game sample. Like, I feel like that's not that bad. There are games where he does that in one game. And then I wanted to bring this up with you, the Warren Sharp stats that he posted about last night, and how the Bills have faced three teams that like to push the ball outside when they're throwing it versus the Ravens, who are attacking teams in the middle. So, like, just I wanted to hear you on that, because that is That's Baylen Spector, right, and Dorian Williams and Cam Lewis, and they've done very well so far, but this is probably going to be their biggest test.
Yes, for sure. I think it's a different opponent in a lot of ways. That's definitely one of them. And what's weird about that, Joe, is even though that is the case, their tight ends haven't really been getting that involved, right? I mean, Andrews, what's happening with Andrews? I mean, where is he? I don't know if he's still dealing. He had the injury last year. He had the car accident in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't kind of been involved in their offense. And then Isaiah Likely, who I like a lot, no pun intended, he was only involved kind of in week one, right? Since then, week two, week three, not as much. 12 catches, 141 yards. I think most of that came in week one. But you look at Mark Andrews, 6 catches on the year for 65 yards. However, that said, they do like to throw to the middle of the field. Zay Flowers is there. Justice Hill, running back. You know, they'll put these guys to a spot. And yes, that was my concern last week against the Jags. That would be my concern this week as well, is attacking the middle of the field, putting those guys in tough situations to cover. And we'll see. We'll see what plan the Bills have. I'm sure the Bills will be ready for that. I'll give you one, though, that plays in the Bills' favor. Here's one for you. We talk a lot about yards after catch all week, right, guys? How the Bills are much better at yards after catch, right?
Mm-hmm.
By design or however. The Ravens have given up the third most yards after catch on their defensive side in the league coming into the game.
Okay.
Gina in Delaware before the break. Hey, Gina.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Sal, when I heard you were on the radio and I had an opportunity to call in, I had to say, please get me on the radio so I can say hello to this man that represents Buffalo, this man that always makes me smile. This is you, this man. Always.
Thank you, Gina.
Smile. Always, always, always. Like, I agree with you just now when that caller called in. Of course, this is a dead even game. Guys, we're playing the Ravens. Let's forget their record. Let's remember Lamar Jackson, who's got the fever, who's got the hunger to win, to ruin us on Sunday night. The darkness, the fans are awesome, by the way. Sal, I've been in that stadium. That stadium is awesome. Let's just sprinkle a little Obey on all of us, okay, for a little good wishes, okay? and Sal, let me tell you this. I agree with you. Nothing irritates me more than when people are so impatient with people, example, like for Von Miller. Von Miller is an older man. Now, I'm a Fossil fan. I'm older than all y'all, okay? Von Miller is an older man. Of course, it's going to take more than a year for this man to recover and to look the way he looks like he does right now. These are human beings. They're not robots. Just like winning the Super Bowl. Yes, of course. Nobody wants to win the Super Bowl more than me. My life is ticking here. I'm 58 years old. I don't feel like it, but I am. Of course I want to win the Super Bowl. But this is a needle. This is a needle. Like, right? Like a tiny little opening. One team after this grueling, grueling season. Guys, let's be happy with what we've got. Of course the end result is to win. But let's just enjoy each game. And you know what? I never thought we were going to be this good. I was just like Woosaw, Sal, and I hope you know what Woosaw means. I know you listen to the morning show. So Woosaw is kind of like a comma chill. I'm not comma chill anymore. I am so, so hopeful for these Bills. So thank you for letting me go off. Let's just enjoy them. And you know what? Doesn't matter if they lose. They're not going to. But it doesn't matter because they're our Bills. Thank you guys for being my lifeline to Buffalo, because Buffalo is my love and it's my soul. And I love you guys for letting me talk. Thank you and go Bills!
Thanks, Gina. She's in Ravens country. But you know.
Oh, man.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Is Delaware Ravens country?
It is.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. Maryland, just yep. North?
Might be more Commanders country soon. I mean, the Commanders.
I say you got Commanders there. Yeah.
Giants right. Country to a degree.
By the way, I mean, I do think, by the way, one underrated part of this weekend is how much the weather's going to factor, guys. We're going to have Patrick Hammer on today on the Extra Point Show. He'll give us an update. We'll talk about the hurricane and, man, just some really tough images to watch coming out of down in the Big Bend area in Florida, and now it's going up into the southeast. Some really, really, really big storm, obviously, but some of those outer bands remnants, I think, are going to be impacting the game on Sunday. So it looks like right now it could be a rainy night, but we'll get more from Hammer. But I wonder how that's going to impact the game as well.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio. He will have
Sean McDermott today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Jeremy and Joe with you on a Football Friday. Football Friday presented by Salino Law, Car Crash Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your day, game day, the Crosby's way. When we get back, we'll get another check-in in Baltimore. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, the Ravens as they head into this game, the favorite, and looking like, you know, after a rough start, maybe they could save their season with back-to-back wins over Dallas, and if they get this one, the Bills. So Brian Wacker, the Baltimore Sun, next. Found a Ravens fight song performed by the Ravens drumline.
And I'm now discovering that there might be like 20 teams in the league that have a fight song that I just don't know about.
Yeah.
The Eagles have one, I know that.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Everyone knows that one?
Yeah, for the most part. To the Western Hotline, Brian Wacker, the Baltimore Sun, joins us to help us preview this game. Brian, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're, you know, it's funny, like, these two teams were both really good last year and made the playoffs and went out against Kansas City. And, Brian, I feel like there was a similar offseason for these two in that they lost a lot of pieces, and we were waiting to see how they would come back. The Bills have come back and been pretty strong to start the season. Baltimore, 1-2 with a couple of close losses. Like, is this a team to you that, yes, they're 1-2, but they look the part of last year's team, or are they feeling some of their departures?
No, I think absolutely they are feeling some of those departures. A number of starters on both sides of the ball. Of course, you heard you guys mention the offensive line there in the update. They've got three new starters on that line, including a guy in Daniel Falele at right guard who's never played that position before. He's always been a tackle his entire career, even going back to college. So a lot of transition there. On the defensive side of the ball, they lost some players. Of course, Davian Clowney, probably the most notable, had a huge year for the Ravens last year. Was terrific, you know, getting to the quarterback and setting the edge against the run. And, you know, there's been also been a number of coaching departures and changes there. Of course, Mike McDonald, the most notable defensive coordinator, now the coach in Seattle. And also, you know, a number of other spots, another number of other assistants on both sides of the ball. So, to me, I think it's, you know, this is kind of the product of when you have that many departures, you know, it's hard to overcome that.
Is it more a feeling of maybe it'll take time for things to gel, or is it really that there have been downgrades in a number of spots?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of both. I mean, certainly, you know, the offensive line has struggled. I mean, going back to my point about Falele, this is a guy who's 6'8", 380, you know, a size that you typically don't see at guard. And, you know, there's some downsides to that. He's not as quick as some other players might be, not as mobile as some other players might be in that position. They, of course, like to run a lot of zone running schemes in Baltimore. So to me, it's, you know, it's a matter of losing a little bit of talent and not having the same level of talent there to replace it. And a little bit of, you know, it'll take some time to gel. Of course, Derrick Henry being one, you know, probably the biggest example in trying to fold him in to the offense. And, you know, we saw that finally come to fruition last week against the Cowboys, where Baltimore ran for 274 yards. Henry had 151 of those. They only threw the ball 15 times. So I think, you know, most weeks, that might be their identity. This was a team, I think, that was kind of searching for an identity and, you know, a little bit matchup dependent. But I think it's a team that will potentially at least lean a bit more on its running game than it has on its passing game, with Lamar Jackson, of course, having thrown for a career high in yardage and completion percentage last season. So.
Yeah, that's kind of been the story here for over a year. Like, what, figuring out what the Bills want to be on offense, what they want their identity to be. And if from the outside, Baltimore, like, as soon as Greg Roman's gone, it was, okay, well, they're going to pass the ball more, and it's going to be a little bit more spread out maybe than it was, investing in receivers and whatnot. And then this year, it's Henry. Is it maybe falling somewhere in between where they were early in Lamar's career and maybe where we all thought they were going to be the beginning of last season?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. To your point, I mean, last season under Todd Monken, it was a completely different offense, spread
offense, a ton of, you know, three and four receiver sets. As I mentioned, Lamar had a career high in passing yards. They really attacked with the passing game quite a bit. I mean, they also led the NFL in rushing, though, but of course a lot of that was Lamar Jackson. He was the team's leading rusher. I think they would like to avoid that this season, and they probably will with Henry in the backfield. So I think it is somewhere between what we saw with that Greg Roman, you know, ground and pound, heavy set offense, and spreading it out more, everything from utilizing three receiver sets and two tight ends on the field at the same time with two receivers. Of course, one of those being Isaiah Likely, who's, you know, kind of a hybrid wide receiver tight end. So I think they're still trying to find that identity in that balance of keeping opponents guessing and figuring out what they can really lean on when they need to lean on it.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, covers the Ravens in the NFL. The Baltimore defense, you know, it's funny. We talked earlier this week about the Ravens. They're one of the franchises, Brian, that has this identity that even if they don't have a good defense, people on the outside probably think they do. I think I'm guilty of that. And last year, you know, like it's a team that finished with a great record, and they did the job in the AFC Championship game defensively. How has their defense looked to start this season?
Well, you make a great point. I think every time you were just generally asked somebody about the Ravens, they would probably say, they've always have a great defense. This year, their pass defense has really been a problem. It's been one of the worst in the NFL, stunningly. And, you know, we've seen guys like Marcus Williams, usually a dependable safety. He has struggled really going back to kind of the middle of last year. Now, last season, he was dealing with some injuries. This season, he's been healthy, but hasn't really been impactful, and he's, quite frankly, been not very good for them. Even Kyle Hamilton, they're all pro safety. The guy can do everything all over the field. He struggled. I think he's got four missed tackles. He's had some coverage issues. Their cornerbacks, Brandon Stevens and Marlon Humphrey, have been, you know, okay, I would say, through these first 3 weeks, but not great. There's been some communication issues. We've seen some blown coverages. And then if you look at the linebackers, you know, it's a team that uses two inside linebackers with Roquan Smith and now Trenton Simpson replacing Patrick Queen now with the Steelers. And there's, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve when you replace a guy, and Patrick Queen, who'd been here for 4 years, and with a guy who's in his second year in Trenton Simpson. And, you know, we've seen some of those things in coverages and so forth. I think we've seen teams, the Raiders and Chiefs and so forth, pick on the linebackers. One week it might be Roquan Smith, who struggled early in the season, I think, and maybe he's cleaned up his game a little bit. And then the next week it was Trenton Simpson getting picked on. And the middle of the field has been a real problem in the passing game for Baltimore. And that's surprising. And it's not just the coverage. It's, as John Harbaugh points out, you know, it's all connected. So you look at their pass rush, for example. It's just not as potent as it was a year ago. Very middle of the pack at best. We haven't seen Nnamdi Madubuike have a huge impact. We haven't seen the outside linebackers, be it Kyle Van Noy or Odafe Owe. We haven't seen them really impact games a whole lot. So to me, there's some cracks in this defense so far. There's certainly enough talent there. They've got all-pro talent at every level on the defensive line, linebacker, and on the back end at safety. So it's a little bit concerning, but they just haven't gotten the production from their defense's best players so far.
Bills and Ravens, Sunday Night Football. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun on the Ravens.
I feel like a Ravens fan's got to be taking a little solace right now, even though the start's been slow, that the rest of their division looks like it's still very gettable.
The Steelers are...
I think even if you were...
Interesting. I mean, like,
I bet if you're a Ravens fan... Well, I don't know how this would be treated. If you're a Ravens fan, I bet it would be like here when the Dolphins are up two games on you. It's like, oh, we'll track them down. They're the Dolphins.
That's
if you're the Ravens,
right.
You think, oh, what, we're two games behind the Steelers? We'll catch them.
The Steelers are in a spot. You know, it's funny. Whenever we talk Steelers, we talk about Andrew Filippone, our buddy, and he was yesterday suggesting that a lot of Steelers fans might sign up to pay Justin Fields like 2 years, $50 million. Like, would they do that?
Were there already?
Played three games. Russell Wilson's not going to get in because
$25 million is pretty cheap for a quarterback.
No, I think, Yeah, you're right.
Or is he saying 250 a year?
It might have been. I have no idea. Starting quarterback money in the NFL is 50.
50 a year?
I don't know.
I mean, who else is going to be their quarterback next year? This is the thing about the Steelers.
They're never bad enough to go get one.
They're 3-0, and I feel like that's not even that good for them. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. I feel like they are just walking themselves into a wild card exit again.
Yeah.
And they're just going to do that again next year, and then the year after that, and they're never going to get a quarterback, and they're just going to be 9, 10, 11 wins and out in the first round every year of eternity.
Yeah. It is Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Couple quick facts to throw at you. Joe tells us it's National One-Hit Wonder Day.
Yep.
Josh finds that Spirit in the Sky is one of the top 10 like one-hit wonders of all time.
This is a great song.
It is a great song.
The instrumental, so good.
Now, you hear this, it is impossible not to feel like you are in a movie montage.
Yeah, I know. Right? That's right.
Like, Sandlot.
It's almost more of a movie song at this point.
Yeah, what are we doing right now? We're building a shed.
Yeah.
We're traveling across a state.
I feel like this song is in the first 20 minutes of every movie.
Yes, so.
That's ever been made.
To that point.
Yeah.
It's on the internet, so I trust it. Every time that this song,
he
has half of the publishing rights to this song, which means he gets about 10 grand every time the song is in a movie or a TV show.
Wow. Yeah, he's loaded then.
I don't know. Every movie. It's in a lot. Spirit in the Sky. This is definitely in Remember the Titans.
Okay, yeah.
If it's National One-Hit Wonder Day, fastest answer possible, the biggest ever one-hit wonder in sports is?
In sports? This is probably not the best answer, but the first name that came to my mind was Jonathan Chichu.
50 goals one time?
Yep. Who's the best all-time for that?
Had one of the greatest games ever and never did anything ever again.
Oh, okay. Games ever?
If you want to go seasons, we could do seasons, but...
That's because that's where my mind went.
Yeah.
What is this? Gabe Davis? Maybe encroaching on this?
He had some other hits, but they were lesser known.
But yet. When the one hit is so... Like, this... Who was this guy's name again that did Spirit in the Sky?
Norm Greenbaum.
Okay, he probably made other songs. They were like, oh, this guy, you know, this song's pretty good. Yep. This song's pretty good, but he got the one. The one that everyone just way above the rest.
You're saying Gabe Davis against the Chiefs is Spirit in the Sky.
It's like the greatest playoff performance a wide receiver has ever had.
Yeah. All right.
I think undisputedly, it was the best football game a wide receiver ever played.
Norm Greenbaum has a song called Canned Ham.
I don't know
okay,
that one.
Okay, maybe the rest of his songs weren't
he
just
makes
pretty good.
$20 million every time that's used in a movie. He's just waiting for it to get used once.
It's right.
Timmy yeah. Smith, running back, Washington. Yep.
Timmy Smith. All right.
He had a huge game against the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
What's like a Bills or Sabres one-hit wonder?
Bills one-hit wonder.
How about a Steve Bernier?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about Bills? Like one big game. One big game for the Bills. And that's it. Bakari Rambo. How's that?
Picked off Aaron Rodgers.
Twice, right?
Yeah.
And did he ever do anything else for them? Probably did. I just don't remember.
How about Ilya Lyubushkin when he scored that overtime breakaway goal?
That's pretty good. Yes.
All right, when we get back, it's Football Friday. We're going to remember some Ravens. It's that time. Let's remember some Ravens.
Call him with a Raven.
Yeah, give us a Raven. Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law, car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.